Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners, but to introduce the four exciting, intrepid, and experienced players of the game who this week are going to partake in Just a Minute. We welcome back three of our veteran players of the game. They've been playing it almost as long as I have, exactly as long as I have, and that is Peter Jones, Jerry Nimmo, and Clement Freud, and we have one of the young showbiz veterans in the sense that he has established himself now with such security in the entertainment industry and on Just a Minute. We can't let him go. That is Paul Merton. So would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, looking extremely lovely. She has a stopwatch, which she will help keep the time. She will score for me, and also she'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And we are playing this particular show before a fringe audience at the Pleasance Theatre at the Edinburgh Festival, as I ask our four players of the game to speak without hesitation, repetition, or deviation on the subject that I give them. And we will begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is Scottish widows. Oh, they're laughing already, isn't that nice? They will have 60 seconds, starting now.
You occasionally see on television an advert for this company called Scottish Widows, where this woman dressed in black is walking around a maze with a smile on her face. And I always think to myself, I wonder what her husband died of. Why is she looking so pleased with herself? Perhaps they overindulged in lovemaking and it took them 3 weeks to screw the coffin lid down. I don't really know what the problem is. Why should she be so happy? Because her dear departed brother was buzzed.
Come and fly, Patrick.
Too many whys. Three whys.
Three whys?
Why happy, why this?
Oh.
Yes, this is in full blood.
Well, listen, Clay.
Well, listen. Well interrupted, and the audience didn't enjoy it, but there are... But say you have a correct challenge, so I've got to be fair with the rules. So, Clement, 35 seconds on Scottish Widows starting now.
There's a new buy company of Scottish Widows called Widows 97, which is actually a geriatric dating agency, which is open to a minimal number of people because that is an age hard to achieve at which few people look for husbands. Scottish Widows is also an insurance company, but advertises via a woman whom I find desperately attractive. And why she should be called a Scottish widow when she must have been on the marriage market...
Paul Challenge. Two she's. Good. Good on your
good
own
challenge.
Tit for tat, there we are, and you've got in with 2 seconds to go on Scottish Widows 4, starting now.
Mashed potato and gravy.
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he has now taken a lead ahead of Clement Freud, Derek Newman, and Peter Jones. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, Braveheart. Tell us something about that in the Scottish edition of Just a Minute, starting now.
Well, it was a motion picture, I believe, based on Wallace. Was it William, his first name? I can't remember. I know it was
Derek Nimmo Challenge.
Just trying to be helpful, yes.
Yes.
I know. Start again.
No, don't start again. No, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. But Derek gets a point because they enjoyed the challenge. And you have 51 seconds on Braveheart starting now.
There is an inscription outside St. Bartholomew's Hospital in Smithfield in London all about some of his exploits. And I don't know whether they based the film on that piece of the script, but I haven't seen it. So I don't really know. I'm not terribly interested.
What?
Slight hesitation.
Give me a
slight extra point for being interrupted.
No, it was a definite hesitation, Peter. Right, 33 seconds on Braveheart with you, Paul, starting now.
Dr. Christian Barnard was a pioneer in the field of open heart surgery and indeed heart transplanting. The first...
Derek Nimmo Challenge.
Heart.
It was on Braveheart.
No, it isn't.
No, Braveheart is one word.
Is it?
Yes. And heart.
It may be two. Are you going to say with this one word or not?
No, but you talked about heart and heart surgery, so you used that word twice, and Braveheart is a word. So I'm sorry.
But it might be two words. It might be brave heart. Like courageous liver. Pumping away all day, some of them are very brave.
I'm tempted to give you a bonus point for the way you struggled out of it, but I cannot give you the one. I must give it to Derek Nimmo, because you did not establish...
I'm establishing it now.
Ah, this is outside the actual talking on just a minute. So you didn't establish when you were talking that Braveheart you were using as two words. So, Derek, you have a correct challenge. But Paul, guess it, that bonus point. 22 seconds for Braveheart starting now.
When I had my heart operation, quadruple bypass, 10 years ago, my heart was particularly brave. And I...
Paul Merton challenged.
The repetition of heart.
You see how you can win it back so easily. 13 seconds. Braveheart is back with you, Paul, starting now.
It was a very successful film starring Mel Gibson, who is an Australian actor, and I think a lot of people wondered how well he would cope with the accent. You hear Scottish voices on programmes like Star...
Paul Merton surged in that round. He gained the extra point for speaking as the whistle went. But other points in the round have put him in a strong lead ahead of Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud and Peter Jones in that order. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, riding the laughs. Tell us something about that. Something we've discussed in just a minute many times. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The very easiest way of riding the laughs is not to say anything risible. And in respect of this, I would like to give you excerpts of Chaucer's prologue to the Canterbury Tales. One Mutter Prinny with his sure is sooty, the draughts of March have pierced to the roof, and say that every vein in Switchy car, of which virtue engendered, is young. When Zephyrus eke with his sweety breath inspired hath.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
That's just killing the laugh.
I think that's a very shrewd challenge, and I give you the benefit of the doubt there, Peter. So you take over the subject of riding the laughs. 28 seconds starting now.
It's a kind of technique that involves making the audience laugh, and then while they are laughing, you prepare the next thing to say just as the laugh is fading away. It's faded in this case altogether. Nevertheless, you know, and then you start again with some new little joke, like...
Yes, Clement.
Hesitation?
Yes, we must get that one.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, right. Oh, Clement, you got in with a third of a second to go. But it's this is just a minute. I have to be fair within the rules. So a third of a second, Clement, right in the laugh, starting now. Oh. Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo equal behind Clement Freud, who is a little way behind our leader, Paul Merton. Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, my harebrained scheme. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
A lot of inventions that we take for granted now started off as somebody's harebrained scheme. Where would we be without the aeroplane? We would be sitting here, probably. But the Wright brothers, when they first devised this machine, lots of people said, it won't take off, it'll never fly. You are a couple of harebrained brothers. So they proved their critics wrong by booking a 747 flight to New York and sat in the first class section eating caviar all the way. My greatest harebrained scheme, I think, was to try to cross an elephant with a Pekingese dog. It's an unusual creature, which I call a pelephant. I could have called it equally an Ekinese, but I think that's rather more difficult to pronounce. It's a lovely creature. You can take it for a walk.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
No, it isn't a creature.
Yes, you had more than one creature there.
Oh,
one must have...
really?
My harebrained scheme, Derek, 10 seconds, starting now.
My harebrained scheme was to get a lot of blue plastic and put it into the shape of a pyramid and ask pretty ladies to sit inside it, tell them they're going to marry the future president of the United States, and charge an awful lot of money for doing that.
Paul Merton is still in the lead, and Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. The subject is round. tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I remember when I was in a play called The Little Hut, I used to get a tremendous round of applause every night because I tied on stage a bow tie. And this amazed the gentlemen in the audience that some complicated knot like that could be done in the course of one tiny speech. I join the round table people, they're awfully nice, on this, where self-made men go to meet their creator. And I always found terribly nice and full of good words, like the lions, too. I remember a doctor friend of mine, every night...
Tim and Floyd challenge.
Repetition is remember.
You remember too much, I'm afraid, though.
Oh, yes.
So, if the subject is round, it's with you, Clement. There are 30 seconds, starting now.
I never appeared in the Little Hut, so I never tied a bow tie or got a round of applause. And I'm really sorry about that, because having the subject round, you ought to have something that's happened in your life which enables you or facilitates the...
Paul Merton challenge, and I think we know what it was.
So many E's in the word there.
seconds, round, Paul, starting now.
One of the most generous people I know is Nicholas Parsons. He always buys a round. Anybody here in the audience, we come out of this venue afterwards, you come up to our chairman, say, buy us a drink, he will purchase a beverage.
Derek Nimmo Challenge.
Buys a drink, buys a round.
Oh, yes.
That's right, yes. A bit boring, wasn't it? Derek, 2 seconds on round, starting now.
My wife is sitting next to me, said, don't turn round.
Right, Derek Nimmo was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moving up on our leader, Paul Merton. He's only 1 point behind him. Ken McFoy and Peter Jones follow in that order. Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Ivy. Can you tell us something about her in this order, please? Then, in this game, starting now?
Well, I've known quite a few Ivies, but the Ivy I remember best was a very fat waitress, a very jolly one, in a little tea shop in Soho during the war, where they were able to obtain rationed things, and so they made Christmas cakes and all kinds of things out of the food that they got on the black market. And they were able to concoct Vienna slices and Battenberg cakes, all kinds of things like that. And she always laughed a great deal at her own jokes. She certainly knew how to ride the audience, which was, of course... It was herself, in fact, you see, the audience. She was both the performer and the...
Demonstrator's challenge. Yes.
The audience.
The audience.
Yes.
The audience. You said audience more than once.
Oh, I did.
16 seconds for you, Clement, on Ivy, starting now.
I find it very sad how few women are now called Ivy. Babies born and whose names are announced in the Times no longer show Ethels and Gladys's, Frieda and Queenie's, nor Ivy. I used to like the name Ivy.
Clement Freud is now equal to Derek Nimmo. Just 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton. Clement, your turn to begin. Klansman. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Klansman was a cult on which I won considerable money over the years. I'm not sure of his breeding. He was probably by Clam Tyne, who was a useful sire. And I watched Klansman, first of all at Pontefract, then Thirsk, Wetherby, Hamilton Park, and later at Perth, at Cheltenham, Wincanton, Newton Abbott, Devon and Exeter, and later Brighton, Kempton Park, Sandown, Epsom, Haydock.
Paul Merton challenged.
After that many races, the horse would have just died. So all over the place, he's travelled more than Derek.
There we go on.
Yeah, you can justify it if you like, because I think it's deviation, because I don't think the horse did run at all those particular venues, and... All right, I'll put it to the audience then. If you agree with Clement Freud, you cheer for him, and if you disagree, you boo, and you all do it together. Now. Well, Clement, they think that horse ran. I don't know how they know. They're obviously all racing enthusiasts. They attended all those meetings, and you saw your horse, Klansman, run. So, Clement, you're still with it. Another point, 29 seconds, Klansman, starting now.
Perhaps his biggest successes were Chepstow, Gardner...
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. Klansman. Let's take it on the Scottish theme, because we're up here in Edinburgh at the moment. 21 seconds, Klansman, starting now.
A film was made in 1913 called The Birth of a Nation, directed by D.W. Griffith. It was based on a book called The Klansman. It was considered a masterpiece of early silent cinema, but now if you see a print of this particular movie, you realise it's actually got quite strong racist undertones. The Ku Klux Klan are featured in this entertainment.
Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle and gained that extra point and has moved forward in the lead, and he takes the next round. Paul, the subject, my funny bone. Tell us something about it in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
Well, it's 10 years ago to the week that I was up here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival playing football with some other comedians when I broke my leg.
Clement Boyd challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Other comedians.
Give Clement a bonus point, but leave the subject with Paul Matthews, who has a point for being interrupted, and he has 50 seconds on My Funny Bone starting now.
I don't want it. I'm in a mood now.
A Clement Boyd challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid you lost it there. 47 seconds, My Funny Bone, Clement, starting now.
Chance.
Paul Merton got it back.
Hesitation.
Yes, you're right. 46 seconds, My Funny Bone, starting now.
I was laid up in hospital about 3 or 4 days, and I was performing up here, and I then went back into this medical institution because I developed a thing that's called a pulmonary embolism, which is a very nasty particular illness to get. While I was still under the charge of these nurses and doctors, I also developed hepatitis A, which the surgeon who was looking after me coolly informed me that I'd probably just caught it off the food I'd been served morning, noon and night in this establishment. So it was a terrible time for me up here, but the great thing about it was it gave me the opportunity some decade later to be speaking on this subject.
Don't give me a chance.
2 decades.
Yes.
When?
A decade ago.
I said 10 years ago the first time, that's why I said decade that time. I'm not a fool, you know.
8 seconds, Paul. My Funny Bone, starting now.
But now I look back on it as an immensely amusing incident. There's something about a brush with death that just gets the old chuckle muscle.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, the diseases that he contracted, both before he went into hospital and afterwards, have nothing to do with bones of any kind.
I agree with you, Peter, that he said it was a...
Are you going against the advice of the doctor? You're giving medical opinions now, are you, Nicholas?
I think you've got sufficiently far away from My Funny Bone, getting on to all the other medical conditions that you encountered and suffered, and your experiences in Scotland in this establishment, this hospital and so forth, which did not relate sufficiently strongly to My Funny Bone, so I give the benefit of the doubt to Peter Jones and say, you've got 2 seconds on My Funny Bone, Peter, starting now.
Not everyone has one.
Now then, Derek, it's your turn to begin. What tickles my fancy? That's the subject, what tickles my fancy. You don't have to take the subject of what tickles my parson's fancy. I understand. So the subject is what tickles my fancy, starting now.
One of the sadnesses of getting older is that increasingly one doesn't get one's fancy tickled very much. I remember when I was a child, what used to tickle my fancy a great deal, curious enough, was bread and dripping. Now, I used to go to a place in Derbyshire called Ilkeston, and they had a maid there who used to put this substance on top of bread and a lot of salt and pepper, and gosh, that did tickle my fancy. What tickled Nicholson's fancy, we don't really know, but he wants me to talk about it, did you say? Did you say he didn't want me to... Oh.
Well, Clement for a challenge.
We have to do a say.
A say, yes. And Clement had a correct challenge. 31 seconds, Clement. What tickles my fancy starting now?
What hugely tickles my fancy is go racing. I like Carlisle and Musselburgh. Have a good word to say for Haydock. And the London tracks, especially Epsom, Toaster, Sandown.
No challenge.
You said London tracks. Toaster's not in London.
Yeah, I said... The London tracks and Toaster and... The London tracks are down in Clinton.
I think Derek's right. Derek, what tickles my fancy? 15 seconds, starting now.
What tickles my fancy is to sit next to Mrs. Parsons on a railway train going preferably to Yugoslavia. She's a lady of enormous beauty, and if I can persuade her by gentle words and the occasional caress to come towards my arms...
Mm. That was, I think, good timing. You were only 15 seconds. You couldn't go beyond that without being very indiscreet. So, Derek, you got a point for reading as the whistle went. You are still in third place. Clement Freud's in second. Paul Merton's in the lead. Peter Jones is trailing a little. And, Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject, tomorrow. Tell us something about tomorrow, starting now.
My tomorrow will be much the same as any other day. I shall get up and spend most of the time helping those less fortunate than myself, including answering all the correspondence I get, which consists of begging letters. And I shall give everybody the same reply as I do. I say to the author of the letter, please accept my apologies, but I have no money to send to you or your cause, but I do suggest that you write to a friend of mine who is both wealthy and philanthropically minded. His name is Nicholas Parsons. And I give his address and a stamp just to help him on its way, because I wouldn't like them not to actually respond to this wonderful offer that I've made them.
Now I know why I get all those begging letters. Peter, really. But that is the first time for quite a while that somebody started with a subject and has kept going right through the 60 seconds without being interrupted, because presumably he didn't commit any of the sins of the game. And so, Peter Jones, you not only get a point for speaking when the whistle went, but a bonus point for your achievement. And it's sad to have to say, in spite of your great achievement, you're still in fourth place. And so we move into the last round, and Clement Freud, your turn to begin. We've got a lovely subject for you, Clement. Horsing about. 60 seconds as usual. Where did I conjure that subject from, I wonder? Horsing about, Clement. 60 seconds starting now.
Horsing about is particularly easy if you have a horse, which I have. And starting...
Paul Merton's challenge.
Deviation. You didn't go through a list of race courses.
A bonus point for Paul, because we enjoyed the challenge, but Clement was interrupted, so he gets a point and continues on horsing about. 53 seconds starting now.
And depending, of course, on whether it is a flat, a national hunt, or a point-to-point horse, you would take such an
Derek, can you
a horse?
Yes, you said horse before. Horse
can you get a flat horse? Mm. How does a jockey ride it? You have to scoop it off the ground with a spatula.
This is where colloquialism plays havoc in just a minute.
Genetic breeding's gone too far, I think.
46 seconds with you, Derek, on horsing about, starting now.
I think one of the most satisfactory ways of horsing about is to have an animal called We Are a Grandmother and enter it at Haydock and Toaster, the Derby, all kinds of other race meetings which Sir Clement Freud would know well about, because he actually owned this particular nag. Perhaps another way of horsing about is to have a lot of fun and just muck around with the chaps. You know, go out on the beach with your bucket and spade and dive into the waves, the briny, onto a boat, and then you can really horse about playing leapfrog. That's frightfully good fun. Who's really done it? I do.
Paul Merton has challenged us.
This is senile dementia. Going down to the beach with a bucket and a spade.
Yes. Haven't you seen him? Didn't you?
No, I haven't. Have you?
We are a grandfather.
Regularly, yes. I mean, he's all the time. He did it just before, just a minute. He went down to Musselboro somewhere. No, where's the coast near here in Edinburgh? Portobello. Right? Oh, it's Portobello. Got it, right? No, so it's Portobello they went to. I've just been told up there on the other side. Portobello, right? So I saw him there. He was leaping all over the place. I couldn't make it. You know, they were all saying, oh, Derek, it's good to see you doing your week games. So that's how we horsed, you know, and they were jumping over each other and doing the leapfrog, making the sandpies, and says, oh, they're great, we Derek anymore. Oh, my God. What a lovely wee fella, you know. Oh, I love him. Oh, hey. He's a good lad. Right, we've only 11 seconds left on this round. Paul Merton, I think I'm going to give you the subject with 11 seconds to go on horsing about, starting now.
You're giving the subject to me because I am the world's greatest authority on horsing around. What you have to do is, first of all, make...
Clement Freud challenge.
The subject is horsing about.
Yes, but he can talk about horsing around if he likes.
In that case, it's deviation.
Oh.
What is the exact difference between horsing around and horsing about?
Whatever the chairman says.
The thing is that if you don't establish that horsing around is exactly the same as horsing about and then go on talking about it, within the rules of just a minute, you probably could be accused of deviation. It's a subtle point, but...
It's a subtle point I fail to see.
Well, I have to make these decisions, and I think that...
Oh, you have to make them, so make one.
Well, I'm making it. And I'm going to say...
I'm being penalised for saying horsing around instead of horsing about.
No, I'm going to say that you're not penalised. I'm going to say that you were deviating, you were throwing in horsing about, you talked about horsing around, you didn't establish that there was one and the same thing, and you talked about horsing about...
Does it not sound like the same thing to you?
I'm going to give you both a point. You both have a point. And you can both finish together. You have 2 seconds to go. Both talk together, starting now.
Horsing about.
So Paul Merton and Clement Foy together brought that particular round to an end, and he's brought the show to the end. It doesn't make any difference to the score, that blasted argument we had over there. My God, how keen they are to get these points! So let me give you the final situation. Peter Jones, who came back with his usual great contribution, but finished in fourth place, alas, but the audience loved him here. Derek Mimmo came off the beach just in time to get up 11 points, only finished in second place. If he hadn't done so much horsing around at the beach, he might have been further up the tree. And Clement Freud, as usual, came off the race course and gave a great value, 15 points, but out in the lead, just ahead, is Paul Merton. So we say, here's the winner this week, Paul Merton. For me to say thank you to our four experienced and talented players of the game, which is Paul Merton, Derek Mimmo, Peter Jones and Clement Freud. I must also thank Elaine Wigley for so elegantly keeping the score and the stopwatch and blowing her whistle. And of course Chris Neal, our producer, Ian Messiter, who created the whole idea, and we all stay in work, of course. This audience here, at the Pleasance and the Edinburgh Fringe, for their warmth and generosity as we played the game, and also to all our listeners for tuning in. To them, from all of us here, including me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much. Be with us the next time we take the air and play just a minute. Till then, bye. Goodbye.